way to win. Jesus completely saves me from all inbred sin. Filled with the Spirit, I have victory within.
Oh, I was lost in darkness when I began to pray. Then Jesus came to me on that fateful day. And he said, "Child, I know you're sorry for all that you have done. Just reach to me, for I am the one. I am the one who died on the tree. I am the one who will set you free." When I heard you cry, "Have mercy on me, I am the one, I am the one." When I'm down in the valley, can't see the light of day, I look to Jesus, for he is the way. And he says, "Child, don't be discouraged, and don't be afraid, for lo, I am with you now and always." He says, "I am the one who died on the tree, and I am the one who will set you free." When I heard you cry, "Have mercy on me, I am the one, I am the one." When I'm down in the valley, I can't see the light of day, I look to Jesus, for he is the way. And he says, "Child, don't be discouraged, and don't be afraid, for lo, I am with you now and always." He says, "I am the one who died on the tree, and I am the one who will set you free." When I heard you cry, "Have mercy on me, I am the one, I am the one."
I don't think there's a time in our lives that we don't need him. But sometimes we just fail. Sometimes my stubbornness gets in the way, and I just don't call on him. And whenever I need him, he's always there. I just need him more and more, and I need to recognize I need him more and more. And I trust you, pray. You know, we were so blessed. But God, we're only blessed because if we recognize the power that God has. And whenever we start thinking we got something, we're in a mess. But if we'll trust him, he'll show us the way. The book of John, chapter number 11 this morning. The book of John, chapter number 11. I'm going to read something that I hope you'll understand. We're going to read about the resurrection of Lazarus. But we're really not going to spend a lot of time with it. I just want to read it and kind of get your understanding about some of the things that we're going to mention. Number one, we're going to talk about sleep. Not the sleep that we did last night. No. The sleep according to the scriptures is when a person dies. We call it dying. But if you're in the Lord, if you've been saved, it's sleep. All right? There's a difference. Huge difference. We're going to mention that. We're going to mention something else also. The Bible tells us in the book of Revelation that God has a book. And that book's called the Book of Life. And whose name was not found written therein, okay? Which means if you're not written in there, you're in trouble. You're in trouble. But if your name is written and recorded in the Lamb's Book of Life, you're okay. What that means is you're saved. That's terminology. We're going to deal this morning with saved and lost. The saved of us can rejoice because we're saved. Not that what we've done, but what Christ did. The lost cannot rejoice. The lost, they don't have a testimony that we can share. They don't have something that says, well, things will be better off after I die. They're not going to be better off. If you're lost, hell's going to be your home. If you're lost, you're going to find not just that's going to be your place. You're going to find that hell is eternal punishment, even if it's only away from God. Just that one thing. But not only that, you're going to be in torment forever and forever and forever. It'll never cease. If you think time is a long time today between, oh, a week, a month, a year, a lifetime, friend, that's not even a drop in the bucket to eternity. Eternity is going to last forever and ever. In fact, there's no time in hell. There is not going to be any measurement of time when you're in hell. I want to get on this part in the 11th chapter. I want to read, and we're not going to, I hope you know the story, and I believe you do. Most of you have been here many, many times. I'm not going to read about the way Jesus tarried and all those things. I want to pick up in verses number 11 of the 11th chapter. And here's the way it reads. These things saith he, and after that he saith unto them, Jesus is speaking, here's what he says, our friend Lazarus sleepeth, but I go that I may awake him out of sleep. Now, not at this point, we're going to skip these next few verses. These disciples did not figure this out. They said things like, if he sleepeth, he do well. They had in their mind, just like many of the world think that, oh, friend, to be die and to die lost, it's not going to be that bad. That's the way the world thinks. Disciples thought, well, if our friend sleepeth, he do well. They had no grasp of what the Lord was going to do. They did not understand the resurrection. They had no clue about the resurrection. They didn't really know what it meant. In fact, you might be here today and think, well, resurrection's good. Oh, yeah, I've read about it. I've heard about it. I've heard the preacher preach on it. But tell me, what's so grand about the resurrection? Well, I got news for you. When you die, all right, you'll figure out right quick what good the resurrection is, all right? You'll figure out the benefits of the resurrecting power. And I want to read one more verse, and then we're going to pray. I want you to skip down with me, and I just want to pick up verse 25. Jesus, talking to Martha, said unto her, I am the resurrection. Now, I could stop right there, and I would be a perfect, it would be a perfect answer. Who is Jesus? And I could say, He is the resurrection. I could say that. But I want to add to what it says here, and I want to continue what He said. I am the resurrection and the life. Now, is He talking about the life right here? Is He talking about if I live to be 100, which I won't? But if is He talking about living to be 100 years old? Man, most folks don't make it. Most of us in this room won't make it. Is He talking about that kind of life? Is that the life that me and you need to talk about? Is that the life that consumes us? Oh, yes, it is. If you don't think our schedules are busy, if you don't think we got all kinds of activities planned, you're wrong. But if you're talking about the life, not the life that we suppose it to be, but the life that Jesus said, I am the resurrection and the life. Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, as we bow, we just ask You, God, to guide us. Help us, use us as You see fit. But most of all, touch that one that may be here that's lost. And we'll praise You in Jesus' name. Amen. The scripture describes Jesus as saying, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in Me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. That says something about life. Now, is that talking about now? Because we know according to the scripture, it's not going to be but just a few moments from time as it was then. He's going to go from that location to where Lazarus, they're going to have to show Him where he's buried. He's going to go right up there to that graveside, and he's going to go right up to that tomb, and he's going to cry out, Lazarus, come forth. Now, when that happens, we all know, boy, that's a good, man, I've read that many times. I know that's good stuff. I know that Lazarus rose from the dead on that day. Now, listen to me carefully. When we read that story, we take for granted that Lazarus, use my terminology, was saved. Because remember, Jesus said, I go to awake him out of sleep. Jesus said that. In fact, if I go to the book of Revelation and I can read from there that there's going to be a book with our names recorded, we could go to that book and say, find it. Bingo, Lazarus was saved. But did Jesus go to the book to see if Lazarus was saved? Did Jesus go and say, well, I remember when Lazarus... No, Jesus doesn't forget anything, not one iota. In fact, everything that we have ever done in this body, friend, will be remembered against us if the judgment situation, but God knows everything about us. In fact, the Bible says He knows every jot and tittle. Actually, He knows everything done in this body, whether it be good or bad. And He chose to take a person like Lazarus that was not perfect, that had sinned, that had come short of the glory of God. Friend, we've all sinned and we've all come short of the glory. But He chose to resurrect Lazarus from the dead. I don't think he was worthy of resurrection because he was a sinner. I don't think he was worthy of righteousness to be that person that God's... There was no resurrection really to talk about in the New Testament. Oh, we can talk about a few examples over in the Old Testament just a little bit. But how can we talk? We're New Testament Christians. I beg to differ. I want us to understand in this life, where's the worthiness to be resurrected? It's not there. But is this the life? No, I beg to differ. I beg to differ. I want us to look just a little bit deeper into the Word. Because I really believe that Lazarus was saved. There was a story about the rich man and Lazarus over in the book of Luke. And Luke describes this picture that this rich man died. And you know the story, so I'm not going to go into great detail, but I want you to see this. When Lazarus, that different situation now, different person, he laid at his gate full of sores, desiring the crumbs that fell from the rich man's table. Whenever that old beggar died, it was one thing. But when the rich man died, he lifted up his eyes in hell. Now I'm going to skip on you because I want you to hear this. One day Jesus went to the land of the Gadarenes. And he went to the land of the Gadarenes. There was a man that was demon possessed. Many demons, legion, we're many. Jesus cast out the demons that was in that man. And whenever he cast them out, the demons cried out, "Lord, don't destroy us before our time." And he cast them into a herd of swine, and they plunged off into the clefts and drowned themselves. When that individual was, the demons was cast out, the man sat clothed in his right mind at the feet of Jesus. Now the Lord is able to do that. Now what did I want to draw your picture was, the demons, we know according to the Bible that hell is prepared for the devil and his angels. There's going to be a judgment day for them. That's what hell was prepared for. This lake of fire that we describe in the book of Revelation, there's going to be a passage that takes care of that. But I want you to know, before their time, they didn't want to be punished before their time. And God didn't grant mercy. No. No mercy. God honored the word for a different reason. Now, I want you to listen. When demons are in this world, they're out to destroy every one of us. He will destroy you. He'll take your life. If you're lost without God, he'll take your life and destroy it right in front of your eyes, and you won't even realize what's happening. There's many people that have drug overdosed, committed murder, killed themselves, all kinds of things that they have done because they've listened to the power and the influence of the devil, and their lives have just destroyed right in front of themselves and plunged off into eternity, and the devil will just laugh at you. He'll laugh at you. And now God could put a stop to those demons there. He could have stopped them. But if you remember in your Bible, there was a man named Job. And the devil appeared in front of God and said, "Where have you been?" And God, through the conversation, God said, "Have you considered my servant Job? There's none like him in the earth." And the devil said, "Well, I can't get to him because you got a hedge about him. You got something there that keeps me from really getting to him. But if you'll let me get to him, he'll curse you to your face." Now, I want to tell you something. The power of the devil and his demons is real. The power of the devil and the demons will actually destroy you, take you away. You can lose your life because of your own volunteer. You'll volunteer to die. Now, listen to me. When we reel ourselves back in, and we go to where Lazarus was resurrected from the dead, the reason I know that Lazarus was saved, because friend, God is not going to take a lost person out of hell until it's time. When the rich man died and went to hell, there was no conversation about "get me out." He was not praying on that day, "get me out." He didn't say, well, listen, if you will grant me one more 5 minutes on earth, if you will resurrect me out of this hell, if you'll get me back on this earth, if you just for 5 minutes, I'll get saved. And friend, the conversation was, would you send Lazarus that he may dip the tip of his finger in water and just quench this, just one drop of water on my tongue, for I am tormented. No one likes to talk about hell today, but hell is just a split second away for many, many thousands and millions of people on a daily basis. And if we as God's people don't shed the light that there is a hell and there is a resurrection, but that resurrection power only is for saved. Saved. Because in Thessalonians, the scripture describes when that last trump of God will sound, the dead in Christ. The dead in Christ. Not the dead of the world. If Jesus stood out that tomb and he would have said, the dead come forth. Friend, everybody would have come forth. But he said, Lazarus come forth. Friend, when that takes place on the resurrection power, when that takes place and God calls up from the dead everyone that say there's going to be resurrection everywhere around this world, you cannot believe what's going to happen in graveyards everywhere. Amen. All because of the resurrected power of the Lord. But here's what happens. Here's what happens. When that rich man was in hell, couldn't get no help, no relief, no water. Abraham said, in thy lifetime, in when you was alive, you had an opportunity. He didn't say those exact words, but he said it like this. You received your good things. You had an opportunity. You could have done something different. You could have changed your future. But you chose to live your life just exactly like you want. And you know that's what people do every day. The reason we're not packed out today in church, the reason we're not setting up pews and chairs and everything else and getting more folks in it, because people don't want to go to church. They don't want it. They want to live their life just like they want. But in this passage of Scripture, God describes sleep for the saved folks, describes a resurrection for the saved folks. But for the lost, no, not one thing. In fact, you don't turn, just listen to me. The book of Revelation says in chapter 1, we talked about this recently on Wednesday night, but listen to what it says. I am he that liveth and was dead. Now that's Jesus talking about when he was here upon this earth. I am he that liveth and was dead. And behold, I am alive. But he don't stop there. He don't stop there with saying I'm alive. Here's the way he says it. I am alive forevermore. See, we're not going to measure time after the resurrection. Oh, you say, well, there is some timetables. Oh, yeah, there is. There is. There is all the way up to Revelation chapter number 22, really a little bit before that, because he's going to do away with time. We're not going to know time. But here's how Jesus says it now. He says, forevermore I'm going to be alive. Now, why do we measure time down here? Because we're in this flesh. Friend, we're deteriorating right in front of your eyes. The moment we're born in this world, death is a chasing after us. And one day it'll catch up. And you might think, well, when I'm old and gray, it'll catch up with me. Friend, I've done many a funeral of folks that were a whole lot younger than I am currently today. And I look into the face of those in casket and I can say, man, they died way before I thought would have been their time. But I'm not the one measuring time. Let me quickly get into this. I'm the resurrection and life. I'm the ones alive forevermore. Amen. And here's what he says. And have the keys of hell. And remember, I could stop right there. I could stop right there and say, Jesus controls everything about hell. He's got keys. Keys to the door. Keys to the gate. However you want to put it. What does that mean? What does that mean? I've read and I've told you this many, many times. If I make my bed in hell, thou art there. I love that verse. I like it. It's in the Bible. Okay. If I make my bed in hell, thou art there. Knowing, being saved, I can't go to hell. Listen to me. Not because of what I've done. Because Jesus controls the gates of hell. And many folks today think that hell is going to be such a piece of cake. But friend, if it was so good, there would be no heaven. There would be no heaven. But because there is a hell, and that hell is so drastic, friend, when we're talking about such a future, such a life, that you, whenever you go in there, you'd wish you'd never been. God holds the key. And friend, when the resurrection power comes on that day for those that are in Christ, Christ will not be at the door letting folks out. No. When you go into hell, you'll only come out one time. You ever seen on television folks that died and 20 minutes later they wake back up? It's good stories. They're lies, but they're good stories. And they'll come back 20 minutes or whatever version. I was in hell. I saw all the demons. I saw in heaven. I saw this, that, and the other. You know what it is? They was on the operating table and they had a dream. And boy, hadn't you had some wild... Man, I've been president of the United States before. Have you? I mean, I've done some wild dreams. I'm glad I don't have them wild dreams no more. I'm glad that whenever I go off to sleep, if I dream, I'm thinking, well, I'm back into reality. These folks think they can do good by writing books on I died and I, God brought me back. He got me out of hell. You'll get out of hell, but only to be judged. And then whenever that takes place, God's going to take hell and throw it into the lake of fire. Now, the reason why I'm saying this, I want to get back to Lazarus, all the way back to him. When Lazarus was raised from the dead by Jesus, we all concentrate on this. We know he describes him as being asleep. We know that Mary and Martha said, Lord, if you'd just only been here, he wouldn't have died. We concentrate on Jesus sitting outside the tomb and weeping. We concentrate on all of those things. In fact, when Jesus pulled out, whenever he said, come forth, and he gets out, Jesus tells those that was around, loose him and let him go. Do you ever hear Lazarus saying, I'm glad you got me out of hell. It wasn't in his words. You know why? That conversation that he just briefly had with Martha then, when he said, I am the resurrection and the life, he knew where Lazarus was. And if you've got loved ones that's gone on, and I'm sure you're like me, or some of our loved ones that's done gone on, that because of their testimony, I'm unsure. Now, I'm not the judge. And if I ever do a funeral, and I'm not sure if I didn't know them well, and I ask folks, And if I don't get a good clear, I'm not going to preach anybody into heaven. I'm not going to do it. I'll talk Bible verses all day long, but I'm not going to say he's better off. Only Jesus knows if you're better off. And because of that, friend, he called Lazarus back. And Jesus said, I am the resurrection. Oh, by the way, just as a little side note, I'm the one that gives life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have what? Everlasting life. My friend, if you're here today lost to that God, you could be in hell before you walk through those doors. Before I had heart surgery, they sit there and tell me I was sitting on those hospital beds there waiting, and that surgeon comes up. First one doctor says, well, I got news for you. If you don't straighten up your carousing around living, you're going to die. No, ain't what he said. He goes up there and he says, you're going to have surgery, and you're going to have it pretty quick. In fact, I'm going to get the surgeon right now. Me and Charlene saying, what in the world? What's going on? Basically, what he was telling me, if you don't get this fixed, you ain't going to make it long. Now, if a doctor tells you that, if a doctor that just went to school, learned how to do all this stuff, and he goes to school and he tells you, you ain't going to make it without surgery, that type thing. Friend, you can have the worst cancer in the world. Your heart can have all kinds of blockages and every kind of problem you want. But I got news for you. You can be a perfect bill of health and never walk out those doors. Because Christ controls life. It's appointed unto men once to die. I'll make it to that appointed time, and then my lights will. And all I'll do is close my eyes on this side and I'll open them up on the other side. I'm thankful that God has prepared a place for me and you if you're saved. I'm thankful for salvation and what it means to be passed from death unto life. And I'm thankful that Jesus can resurrect anybody from the dead, including me. And if you're lost, hell can be your home, but it don't have to be. Heaven is real. If you'll come to Jesus, he's the one that can save your soul. Brother Greg, a song of invitation. I don't know much. Very ignorant in this world. I don't have a lot of knowledge. I do a lot of bad things. I've been a sinner all my life. But friend, when Jesus saved my soul, he took away that want to, changed my want to, changed my way of living. But I got news for you. If it wasn't for the grace of God, I'd still be on my road to hell. I'd still be headed there. And friend, if you're lost without God, you're on your road. And unless you turn your life over to Jesus Christ, you could be in hell. But you can remedy that by coming to Jesus, bowing on your knees and asking God to save your soul. I can't do it for you. You got to do it yourself. May we stand together. And may we sing together. And if God's speaking to you, you step out from where you're at and come. Get saved before it's everlasting too late. Would you come to know him in the free pardon of sin and be saved today? Would you? Our prayers are for you. Sing when you're ready, brother.